This morning we are going to be in Acts chapter 7, but I want to go back and touch some things that one of our favorite verses I think I hear quoted a lot is Jeremiah 29:11. It talks about how God has plans for us, plans to not to harm us, but for us to prosper and to give us a hope and a future. And I've heard people say that and take that verse, not really out of context, but they take it and they kind of say, well, you know, as long as I'm following God's will, everything should be fine. That's not the way it works. I wish it did. But also, if it did, think about how many people would be turning to Christ just to have an easier life. And that's not the case. We can look at great Bible heroes. You know, I think of Noah, who spent 100 years building an ark, doing exactly what God told him. He's witnessing the whole time. And during that time, he's got in the back of his mind, God has already told him only 8 people are going to survive. All those other people out there are going to drown. Man, talk about a tough job. But he was doing what God told him. You know, Daniel was just living his life the way he was supposed to. He was praying every day. He was worshiping God. He was serving God. And because of that, he gets thrown into a lion's den. James is beheaded. Peter and John are thrown into prison. There are so many that were just doing what God called them to do, and life did not turn out the way they thought it would. You know, there's a lot of times in our life we think life should turn out just a little bit better. I caught myself this week talking to someone, and I said, I hope you have a great day. You really deserve it. And then God smacks me in the face with this sermon. He says, you don't deserve anything. You deserve only what I give you, and you don't deserve that. It's called grace. It's called mercy. But this morning I want to look at one other individual, and this is Stephen. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 7. And so I will start reading in verse 54. It says, when they heard these things, talking about the crowd that he was talking to, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed their teeth at him. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and they ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen. And as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you. We lift up this passage. Lord, keep me from saying anything that it doesn't say, but help me to say everything that it does that you want us to hear today. Lord, may we focus on you. May your spirit, Lord, move among us. Open our hearts. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we can't hear. Without you, I can't speak. Without you, we are nothing. Lord, we come to this place today to worship you in the accepting of your word and the drawing closer to you. Lord, touch us. Not because we deserve it, but because you deserve to have children that will serve you and love you. Lord, make us that. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Now, Stephen, we've heard, a lot of us have heard about Stephen. He was, when the disciples were preaching and the numbers were growing and growing, and it got to a point where some of the Hellenistic Jews thought that their widows were being shortened, so they began to complain a little bit. So they chose 7 men. And it says they choose 7 men full of faith. And the first one they say they chose, and you could actually go back to chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." And it lists the other six. Today, I want us to look at that man and look at what he did. Because I know you and I, we think we go through troubles and trials in our life. And we do. We go through them every single day. But I've not gone through this one. I pray to God that I don't have to go through this one. But the trials and the troubles of this life that we live in, you are going to go through. Nothing exempts you. Following Jesus does not exempt you. Sometimes it makes it worse. But here we've got Stephen, and he's been just sharing the gospel and telling them about Jesus and telling them how the Jews had rejected the prophets and they had rejected Jesus. And it was offensive to them. And when you and I begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world, it's going to be offensive to them. Because it's going to tell them that they are not right with God. It's going to tell them that they need to surrender to God. They need to turn their life to Him. What they're doing has got them headed down a highway to hell. And they're not going to like that. Well, that's kind of where Stephen was. But I got to thinking this week, because this is also a passage that, as we look at Stephen and we see how he dealt with the problem in his life. I look at my life and I've got little problems. You know, I've got big problems. I've got mental problems. I've got all kinds of problems. But you know, God is there with us through them all. And what he does with Stephen, the pattern that Stephen goes through in these few verses, is a pattern that you and I are going to have to cling to. As Stephen is there and he's beginning to share the gospel, he's beginning to be, they're gnashing their teeth at him. They are so mad that their teeth are grinding and they're so upset with him. Stephen does a few things. In the midst of his problem, and he's definitely got a problem, in the midst of his problem, he remembers his purpose. You know, whatever problem you're facing, whatever problem I'm facing, we have to remember that we have a purpose. Our purpose is to love God and to love people. We are to minister and we are to testify. Look what Stephen does. Here he is, he's in the midst of this trial. They're to the point where they're going to stone him. And what does he do? He understands that the purpose for his faith is to share the testimony of what he knows about God. He's standing here and he says, "Look, I see heaven open up, and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." He didn't make anything up. He didn't break into a lot of theology. He just told them what he saw, what he knew personally. He began to share. That's your purpose. In whatever day you're living, you need to make sure, I need to make sure, that we're fulfilling our purpose to just tell them what we know. So many times we make it more difficult than it is. But if you're in a problem, no matter what it is, whether it's self-made, whether it's just life in general, whatever issue you're going through, understand there is a purpose. You may not know it. No one around you may know it. But God knows it. Because we are here according to His purpose. Stephen remembered his purpose. It would have been real easy to step back and say nothing. To stop. Okay, I've said enough. I've made you angry. I'm going to step back. But he didn't. He knew that he was there for a reason in the midst of that problem. He began to testify and share the truth know to you, that probably doesn't seem like much of a platform. And when I was growing up, I wanted God to give me the platform of a professional baseball player. God, if you'll just get me to the big leagues, I'll be able to stand up there and tell people about Jesus. Every time a microphone's in my face, I'll be able to tell somebody about Jesus. Every time somebody comes up for an autograph, I can tell them about Jesus. I had all these big dreams. But that wasn't the platform God had for me. Sometimes that platform is not up here. Sometimes that platform is in the dirt. Because when you're going through a problem, or I am going through a problem, have you ever noticed that people are always watching to see how you respond? That's when the spotlight is on you. Because they want to see how you react. Man, she says she's a Christian. She's going through this problem. I'm going to watch and see how she handles this. I'm going to see what he does when he's put in this situation. Man, seems like his life is falling apart. Let's see how he handles it. And the spotlight comes on. And people begin to watch. That's what happened here. It says they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, it doesn't seem like Saul was looking for a platform that Stephen was on. Because we know the road that Saul went down. But I'd like to think that Stephen planted a seed in Saul. I don't know. Maybe the fact that he planted that seed in Saul was enough to make Saul go off the deep end because he couldn't handle it. And so Saul began to turn against the church until that road to Damascus, when God let that seed grow in full. I don't know. But I know that when you are going through your trial, and I am going through my trial, that is the best time to plant seeds. Remember your purpose. Because that's when people are watching. When everything's good, I don't need to watch. Nothing special is going on. But man, when he's down, everybody notices. Remember, in the midst of your problem, you're there for a purpose. Now, there's times in my problem that I would love to be like Stephen. Not the end part, just the beginning. Where I would be able to just look up to God and would be able to see heaven opened up. And I'd be able to see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Man, would that not be amazing that when you were in the middle of your problem, you could just look up and that would happen? Well, that brings us to our next point. In the midst of your problem, remember to move into his presence. Stephen was talking. He was sharing his faith. He was sharing a testimony about God. And when it all come down to it, and they began to get mad, and they began to gnash their teeth at him, and they began to want to murder him, he began to pray. And he began to be in the presence of God. So many times when we pray, and I think we're all guilty of this, it's that quick, "Hey God, give me this prayer." Do you ever stop and think that when you're praying, you are at the feet of Jesus? When Jesus Christ died on the cross and that veil was torn, when he rose from the grave and that veil was torn, that was so you and I as Christians could come into the presence of God. But we're content just to be back and holler at him. Stephen's prayer brought him to the feet of Jesus. Where do our prayers take us? Because a lot of times when we pray, it's because I'm focused on what's going on with me. God, get me out of this situation. He prayed of God. True prayer brings us to the feet of Jesus. it not only does that, but when we take our eyes off of us and begin to focus on God and say, okay, God, I know there's a purpose. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't like it. But I know there's a purpose. It begins to change perspective of what life we're going through. Those problems, when we realize that they're there, our perspective. Well, heaven may not open up. God may not take us out of the storm. He may not wipe our trouble away, but He promises He will be there with us. If we will just take ourselves and through praying in the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, putting ourselves in His presence, everything else will fall away. Now, we may still have shackles. We may still have storms. We may still have raindrops. We may still have all those troubles. But I can handle those troubles when I'm at the feet of Jesus. When He wraps His arms around me, then those troubles can disappear. That's what He wants to do. So we're at 2 points so far. We're at make sure we remember our purpose, make sure we move into His presence, and in the midst of our problem, remember to call on His power. Now that sounds ridiculous. Well, of course we pray, but we pray, God, get me out of this, instead of praying, God, I'm here for You. I'm here for Your purpose. May Your power be shown. So that other people will see Him. Not me. So that other people will see His power. We pray for guidance. We pray for protection. And those are part of God's power. Those are part of who God is. But Jesus says, if you believe in Me, you're My child. And if you pray asking anything in My name, in His will, it'll be given to you. We have to pray that God's power would be seen. Too many times we just say, God, just get me out of it. Instead of, God, be glorified. Show Your power. However it's going to happen, God, however You want it to happen, but I pray that Your power would be glorified. That people would see what goes on. Maybe He's going to just give me strength to be in the middle of it, to survive that trouble, then people will see the power that He's given me. Maybe He will do something miraculous, and people will see the power. That's not up to me and you, but we just pray that God will be glorified in His power in that problem. Because you know, when you realize that the power of God is behind you, it changes everything. With Elijah, he had a servant, and they were surrounded by Ahab's army, and they're down in the valley, and the servant says, what are we going to do? And Elijah says, God, just open my servant's eyes. And he opened his eyes, and he saw the hills full of chariots of fire. I guarantee you, that servant wasn't scared anymore, because he knew the power of God was behind him. Didn't take him out of his trouble. Didn't wipe away the soldiers, not right away. But knowing that the power of God, constantly thinking about the fact that the power of God is behind you, why do we fear? So we want to make sure we remember to call on His presence. Call on His power. That's what Stephen did. He cried out with a loud voice. Obviously, he wasn't real comfortable. It says that they got ready to stone him. He was calling to God. He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knew that God had the power to receive his spirit. He goes on to say, lay not this sin against their charge. He knew God had the power to forgive them. He knew God's power. And so he called on it. Then this last part, the hardest part, says when he had said this, he fell asleep. We know that that's just, in the Bible, sleep is is a rest. It's a time of transferring from this life to the next life for those of us that are Christians. And so as he says this, we remember our purpose. We move into His presence. We call on His power. And we rest in Him. Stephen knew he had done everything right. He had done what he was supposed to do. He had shared the Word of God. He realized the problem was there. He understood his purpose. He called on God, moved into God's presence, and then he called on God's power to receive him and to forgive them. And then he laid down to rest. Rest in the peace of God. Somebody's throwing rocks at you. Lay down and rest. Whatever trouble you and I are facing, it may not have anything to do with some of these things that are in this passage, but there are things that we're facing. But the only way to get through them are these same four steps. Romans 8:28 is a verse that a lot of people will quote. Well, you know, we know all things are going to work together for good. That's not the verse. The verse says that all things work to good for them that love God and who are called according to His purpose. If we're not there for His purpose, then don't expect it to be turned for good. God can do that, but so many times I want to be in a situation and just say, well, you know, it's going to turn out good. May not turn out good for me, but it'll turn out good for God and to those who are called according to His purpose. That's what He has for us. As we go through those troubles, as we go through those trials, I want to share these last few things with you. You will only find your purpose when you realize His love for you never stops. Wherever you're at, I start looking for a purpose. Okay, God, what's my purpose here? Go back to His love for me. And when I understand His love for me, then at that point, I can begin to see my purpose. I can begin to feel my purpose. And if I will draw into His presence at that time, then what He's going to do is going to allow me to see it's okay. Now, there are some people here today that probably say, well, you know, I don't think my life has a whole lot of purpose. Or I've veered off the track a ways from where I should be. You know how they get to the top of Mount Everest? One step at a time. They got base camps, like at 20,000 feet. And then they go up a certain range, and then as they go up higher, they go smaller from base camp to base camp. But how do you get to the first base camp? One step at a time. How do we get through our trials? One step at a time, but knowing that we're not by ourselves. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will never understand it. You will never understand your purpose. You'll never understand life until you understand His love for you, until you understand what He did on the cross for you. But when you do, all you've got to do is these same steps. Come into His presence, asking for forgiveness. Understand what His love for you and what He's done for you. As you do that, you'll experience a power that I can't explain. Nobody in this room can explain. It's a power that will change your heart. It will change your life. You just take a chance and say, God, I don't understand all this. I don't understand all the purpose. I don't understand the reason. I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. I don't understand all of your word. You don't have to. All you've got to do is accept the fact that He loves you. And when you do that and you turn yourself over to Him, He will give you a love that changes your life. And when it changes your life, don't do it if you don't want your life changed. There are people out there that you may see them accept Christ or claim to accept Christ, and their life never changes, and they didn't accept Christ. Something's got to change when a life-altering love of God enters you, and the forgiveness of sins, the grace and the mercy of God is yours. It's going to change things. And Christians, when we face those troubles, those trials, those points of life, we have to go through those four steps. You cannot make it on your own. You will not make it on your own. This morning, see which step you're on. You know your purpose? Are you in His presence? You feeling His power? Are you resting in His peace? Because there's times when we get knocked down and it doesn't happen. We don't feel those things, but they're there. I'm going to close in prayer. Father God in heaven, so heavy this morning. Pray right now for the troubles and the trials that we face in this life. God, we need your strength. We call on you. Lord, I pray you move us, draw us, convict us, encourage us, help us. Lord, we're nothing without you. Lord, move in us as individuals. May we not be comfortable where we're at. May we give it all to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.